Joshua, I don't have a guitar, but this is Uncommon Unplugged.
All right.
So that's my attempt of acoustic. Acoustic air guitar, because I'm a professional air guitar, but okay. I'm an amateur acoustic air guitar. Anyway, we always kind of plan these things out, write content, getting here and all serious and whatnot, because we're talking about scripture and stuff. Okay. But today, it's just a little bit of goofy time. Mm. So sit back, put your fat pants on, and we're going to talk about some kind of not serious stuff, but sometimes just like, well, behind the curtain kind of thing. So let's just start with what inspired us to start Uncommon and what does the organization stand for. So Greg and Amanda Cash, founders of Uncommon, wanted to invest in men. You know, there are husbands, dads, and leaders out there. And so they created an app, had challenges of, I just did 10 push-ups. Joshua, I challenge you to do 20 push-ups. Mm. I think everybody was either too lazy or too fat, didn't see the challenge, whatever it was. It just did not go as far as they would like it to go. There were challenges that we did, like putting all the kind of like sticky notes on your wife's car, telling her things, getting her car detailed, fill it with gas kind of thing, without being asked, all those type of challenges. Those went well, but guys struggle with engagement anyway and commitment. So it was going to be a challenge. So the app went so far before it had to change, but they wanted to encourage husbands, dads, and leaders to be the men they were always called to be. Mm-hmm. And so that started in 2012. And here we are. We're getting ready to turn, 14 years?
14, yeah. 12 years.
12 years?
Because it's 2012.
See, I'm old. So 12 years of running, Uncommon. So that's where it came from. That was where the origins of Uncommon. It started as an app, and then it moved quickly to more of a content delivery ministry online that reaches worldwide.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't know how far that reaches. They think, well, is it just local? Mm-hmm. Is it just that ball guy that – because I've already tuned him out. So, but it is worldwide. Our next question, Joshua, hit me.
We are talking about – we love reading books on this podcast, or listening to books at least.
Yeah.
It makes me feel productive when I'm cutting grass and doing two things at once.
Don't shame my listening sense. My ears work fine.
So we're just giving some updates on maybe some books that we're reading right now or any recommendations. I know I'm currently reading a book that some of the guys in my Bible study are going through called Family Driven Faith. Mm. But halfway through it, really, really great book. Mostly aimed at those maybe like parents to be, or maybe those with young children kind of thing, and just talking about what biblical leadership looks like in a home, raising your children in a biblical environment, maybe like what parenting looks like from, the Bible, and saying like how that can be translated to, the world around us. And it's been really great. I know I had some great input too on just husbands and wives and how they interact with each other.
Sure.
Me and my wife, we had a conversation in the very early part of us dating, and it was something you had parted on, me and Noah growing up, was this kind of unspoken rule of, I will not put myself in a position where I'm alone with another female, with no one else around, or, in closed doors, and then I expect, my girlfriend and wife to do the kind of the same on the other side.
Sure.
And I've gotten mixed reviews on that over the years. I've had other people who totally agree with that. I've had other people who, have told my wife, he's controlling you. How dare he tell you who you can hang out with kind of thing. Mm. And so this book actually talked about a little bit of that. He's like, he said that he does the exact same thing. He doesn't let himself be alone with another woman as a testament to his commitment to his wife and not letting the devil get a chance in any capacity. Nothing could be misinterpreted, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I loved that, because that kind of gave... I guess I always kind of knew that was kind of the reason, but I loved hearing that from another source and giving even further credence to that.
Sure.
And so I've really been enjoying that book immensely. And me and my Bible study, or my the guys in my life group are going through right now. And some of them are parents right now, some are parents to be, and some have no children right there. So if you're worried about it not being in your stage of life, I can guarantee you there's something in that book that can touch on some aspect of your life, whether you're dating, looking to date, or, you know, you have great grandkids.
Let's see. I listened to this one. Earlier in the year. It was Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey.
I love that one.
And what a great book. You know, Matthew's a Christian, but he is a Texan who's L-I-V-I-N, living. And so he's got a great book out there called Green Lights. I would highly recommend it. I just finished one recently that I've mentioned on the podcast before called Doing Life with Your Adult Children by Jim Burns. Yep. Fantastic if you are approaching maybe empty nest, or if your children have just moved out, gotten married, or moved out of college, moved out on their own. It is a great book about doing life with your adult children. And then another one I finished up during the rest of the year, or early in the year, was Get Your Life Back by John Eldridge. I preferred this one more than his Wild at Heart one that everybody loves. And I've done some other books recently. Max Lutico of Don't Be Anxious for Be Anxious for Nothing. I just finished a book on by Jimmy Carter. So, you know, we kind of all over the place, but I think it's good to read books like this that gives you a perspective of what everybody goes through.
Sure.
I think it's helped us round off what a man faces throughout their lives. Because, again, many of these people have experienced things that I have not, and then vice versa.
Sure.
I just haven't wrote a book about it yet. And so, but reading about that kind of gives you a little window into, you know what, we all kind of struggle with the same things.
Sure.
And so, if you are reading a book that you like, let us know in the comments what it is and what you're getting out of it.
Yeah. I think it's a great way, because I've mentioned it previously in a couple episodes of podcasts, that there are so many books out there that help you in different areas of your life that, you know, we are in an age of so much knowledge, which could be a bad thing. But sure. For the most part, if, you know, using the, you know, the biblical lens to look through these books, make sure it's, you know, the right information and biblically sound. But so many books out there that can help us get better at something we're struggling at.
Sure.
You know, like, you know, you struggle with, you know, maybe it's carving out time for I'm blanking on the phrase. It is when you sit down at your table and you read your Bible. Quiet time. My gosh.
Did I mention this was unplugged? This is what you get when you get Uncommon Unplugged.
How many senior moments do I get at my age? Or is
today, you've already used up one.
Okay, cool.
You're done for the day.
Your quiet time, you know, tips and tricks, what the Bible says about, like, there's so many books out there that I think that, you know, it's very hard for you to be like, well, I just suck at X, Y, and Z, and I can't do anything about it. Like, there's so many ways you can improve upon it.
Sure.
I mean, it's kind of like Bible study of the Art of Marriage. There was a segment of someone, they were using different examples of, like, Brig Myers emotion test, the love language, all this kind of stuff, as reasoning as to why the spouse was being, like, kind of mean to the person. They're like, I'm an INJ 5-2, I'm sorry that I'm a butthead, or whatever the case may be. And so, like, you know, there's no excuse like that to be like, well, I don't know how to be a better husband, dad, and leader. I don't know how to be better at prayer or being a spiritual leader. There are so many good books out there that, you know, don't know where to start? Ask your pastor. I know our pastor is always open to book recommendations. I'm constantly emailing him about something about, you know, biblical-based psychology books, because that's my cup of tea. So, you know, reach out to your church, your local, you know, Bible study. I have a Google Doc with all the guys in my Bible study. It's a long list of books. Everyone just piles in different recommendations of different categories of, not all of it has to be scripture based, and have some classics in there, some, you know, skill books, some fantasy or whatever kind of thing. But, you know, it's definitely a great well to tap into if you aren't already.
Yeah, I would recommend that, obviously, Scripture is number one.
Yes.
We start with that. You spend daily time with the Word. That's rule number one. All other books, commentaries, supportive stuff, those are not inspired.
No.
Those are written by everyday guys. So take that in consideration. Mm-hmm. But read some books that you may not have anything in common with. You're like, you know what? I don't know what that person's about. Let me take and read about that. And it'll probably give you a little bit of window walking a mile in that person's shoes.
Sure.
And so, you know, we always love Gary Chapman. Mm-hmm. Here's your plug, Gary. I still have not got that check, Gary, about the five love languages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to add on to that, just because you are one of the languages doesn't mean you're not called to speak to someone else's love language.
Sure.
So that's all I'll say about that. I can't let a love language reference go by. The next one is, how can Uncommon help men balance work, family, and personal time effectively? Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, prioritizing God in our lives, you know, again, number one,
sure.
spending time in the Word. You know, pray for wisdom and discernment. Mm. You know, it's there. I mean, Solomon could pray for anything. He asked for wisdom first. And everything else was given. Start with some wisdom. Invest in time in your family and lead them well.
Yes.
And so all those things are, you can see that they're not like, you know, spend time on the Word on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. It's spend time in the Word. It's kind of a little bit of an open-ended piece that, it's always in the present tense.
Yeah.
Always do that. Lead well. Always. Invest in your family. Constantly. Mm-hmm. So I think if we had to give some feedback on how to help all of us, all men, to balance life work, you know, that life work balance kind of thing, I think it's important for us to prioritize God in our lives. I know whenever we have gotten prayer requests from people dealing with broken marriages, dysfunction, divorce, separation, whatever, we always hear one side of the story. We always ask, are both of you believers? Mm-hmm. And do you attend church? Do you, you know, kind of worship together? Do you maybe done a marriage study? Whatever. They rarely respond back because usually that's not happening.
Sure.
And so it is hard to balance something that is broken.
Sure. Well, I think it's a very dangerous mindset to have where you're just like, I'm going to only pray to God when things are going off the rails and I have zero control.
Sure.
And that tends to be the case of those guys reaching out to us. And whether it's marriage, you know, addictions, work problems, whatever the case may be, I think it's interesting to see the people that usually tend to run to God in those scenarios tend to be the ones that don't reach out regularly.
Sure.
Because while, you know, prayer is an amazing thing and we always want to hear prayer requests and we're always praying for the prayer requests that we get, it is imperative that you first start and make sure your foundation is built on being God's word.
Yeah.
You know, going to church, being that spiritual leader, because there is an otherworldly peace you experience when you are that deep in God's word and, you know, chasing after him.
Sure. It helps you see every problem in your life through the lens of God.
Sure.
If you do not spend time with God in his word, you tend to look at things through your own lens. Mm. And so, next question, Joshua, that's yours.
I see. What do we enjoy the most about running Uncommon? I think, for me, I think it's helped me mature a lot in my walk. Mm. Just being able to have conversations like this,
sure.
You know, with you and with the other guys on Uncommon, it's kind of put me in an accountability position of like coming on here and talking about the books that we're reading or where we're in our Bible studies right. and that kind of thing. So, even though there's not another person sitting across from us holding the camera. That is, you know, a metaphorical them of, you know, hey, keeping us
accountable. Hey, wave at Greg. Hey, Greg.
We We should just call him Jack, though. It'd be the,
true.
Yeah, Jack. He should be Jack.
Sorry, Greg. You've been renamed to Jack. Jack the camera guy. And we'll get around to Jack later on in the segment here. So
every time there's a problem with the video, I'm just going to blame Jack.
Jack.
But yeah, just having some accountability, I think, and also pushing me to look into furthering my knowledge in these areas that sure. we talk about that, you know, maybe I didn't have as much understanding of what it takes to be a spiritual leader in my home. Mm. And, you know, when we talk about this, you know, requiring some reflection on my part and being vulnerable with, you know, everyone that watches these videos, that I think it helped me be more vulnerable with people in my life. And I've seen great strides in my walk because of that. And sure. so that's something that I love talking about and being vulnerable with people, because I think we often get so wrapped up in our own minds that we forget that everyone else is struggling with just the same amount of stuff.
Sure.
That, you know, it's not a sign of weakness, but camaraderie. Yeah. You know, it's a brothers in blood kind of deal where you're all suffering and trying to make it through this crazy world. And it helps to have someone else say, hey, I'm also struggling with that. Or, hey, man, I'm right there with you kind of thing. How can I help? So I think for me, that's been the biggest thing. And being able to communicate better about that, I think, finding the words to speak.
Yeah, I think if you find out pretty quickly that if you don't spend time researching this, in prayer about this, maybe writing content around this, you won't be able to talk about it for sure.
Yeah.
You get up here and be like, guys, do better, you know, kind of thing.
Do more gooder.
More gooder. So I love hearing about how we encourage men. Mm-hmm. So I was talking to a client lead yesterday, and after we finished talking about the project to be, he said, hey, before I let you go, I just want to tell you thank you for Uncommon. Mm. And it caught me off guard. I didn't know he was going to bring up Uncommon, because I never kind of crossed those two streams, right? Sure. I try not to, at least. And so he's like, yeah, I really appreciate Uncommon. I have two sons, and you know, 4 and 8, and it's been a big, you know, benefit in my walk. And we don't always hear that, because what usually happens is we push stuff out there and there's crickets. Just crickets. So it's great to hear some encouragement. Not that we need the old attaboy, but it's great to hear that it's encouraging someone.
Sure.
Next time you're at church, when it's finished after the sermon, go up to your pastor and thank him and tell him how much that meant to you, because he's probably wondering, is that resonating for you? Mm. Is that hitting you where you need to, you know, to move or whatever? Because he's probably wondering the same thing. And we do a lot of work with pastors.
Yeah.
And they're in the same situation. So also, I enjoy creating all the resources, because this is all stuff that I figure at the end of the day, I'm like, well, what am I struggling with?
Right.
What would benefit me? And so that's when we start
developing
things. And I love designing stuff around Uncommon and that kind of thing. So I enjoy those two areas.
I mean, it's like writing a letter to your younger self of, like, now that I've gotten through X thing, what would I have liked to know before that? And I think that ultimately is, you know, we're called to mentor people, you know, below us in that stage of life.
Sure.
So that when I can point down to people who are maybe just getting married or, you know, beginning dating and that kind of thing, and you can point to people who, you know, empty nesters and that kind of stuff, when it's so fresh in people's minds of, like, you know, I'm in uncharted territory.
Sure.
That, you know, like, hey, I would have loved to have heard this from X person, or I would have loved this resource. I think that is a great use of our talents.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And there's something that we develop that's beneficial to you that other men's ministries maybe don't have.
Yeah.
And there are a bunch of great men's ministries out there, and we're just hopefully one of them. The next question is, what do we feel, based off our experience with Uncommon, are men's biggest struggles? Again, these are questions that we've gotten over the years, or things that we're like, you know what, that's a common question.
Sure.
Men struggle with communication. Grunting and one-word answers are not communication.
The old Tim Allen.
You know, engagement. We're very, very passive when it comes to that, you know. Sitting on the sofa, you know, Monday morning quarterback, I wouldn't have done that. That's us, right? And then leadership. And what's funny about that one is everybody thinks they're a leader. I'd say not everybody, but a lot of men think they're leaders. Mm. And then they start to lead, and then something happens. Maybe some adversity. They're not qualified. They got to spend time sharpening those leadership skills, and they don't, and it fails. Mm. And so those are the biggest struggles that I've seen out of our guys. Have you seen anything new besides that?
I've seen a lot of the question of what biblical leadership is, mm-hmm. not just in like a sense of like, hey, I'm leading these group of guys, but what am I called to be as a biblical leader? That I think is a big struggle that I've seen. Cause you know, once you're married or you're dating or you have children and then you're head at your office, you realize just how many people's lives you influence. Mm-hmm. And how much you want to make sure that the influence you're giving is biblically sound. Right. I think that I've seen a huge spike in that, because the thing so it's funny because you say most people see themselves as a leader. I'd almost say the opposite. Most people don't see themselves as a leader, at least in my age group. They almost don't see themselves as that. And so the one of the things that we've seen is that people look at husband, dad, leader, and they're like, well, I don't fall in any of those categories.
Right.
And so whether you think yourself a leader or not, you're leading somebody, whether it's yourself,
oh, sure.
your spouse, your children, your friends, your coworkers, somebody's looking to you for leadership.
Everything communicates.
Yeah. So because you are a leader, you're called to be a biblical leader, and you cannot be caught unguarded in that area. So if you're going to lead, do it right.
Lead well.
Yeah.
Lead well. I spent many years in rec league coaching you guys in different sports. And everybody would take and ask, you might want a coach? We're looking for a coach. Mm-hmm. Looking for a coach of soccer. I don't play soccer. Wrong kind of football. I play American football. I enjoy that, right? I'm like, sure. If you don't hear anybody, I'll do it kind of thing. Now, what are the rules of soccer? Kind of thing? And so being willing is the first part, right? But what I found was that after I volunteered, and like I said, the assistant coach would volunteer, all the other dads who did not volunteer always had opinions. Mm. Well, I wouldn't have done that. Why don't you do that? Why don't you run a 3-4 X defense with an over-top, drone strike? So I think maybe it's just my generation, Gen X, that a lot of guys think they are leaders or want to be leaders, and sometimes they don't lead well and it impacts them kind of thing. So let's see. The next question is, what is a fun one? What is the most remote place Uncommon reaches?
I think, last we checked on the small groups map that we just had posted recently.
So that map we posted was anyone who interacts with Uncommon in some capacity. Like that person is in that country and they're going to the website or they are part of the newsletter or they're a member or a small group.
But I think the first one was India, and it was, I think, Singapore. The two furthest, at least from us.
Right. Well, I mean, I say we're here in Charlotte,
right? Yeah,
North Carolina. So
far doesn't mean a whole lot to the people in India. But
driving to New Orleans, 11 hours. I'm like, that's far. Right. Are you kidding me? It's like 700 miles. Sure. Goodness, just mail the crawfish. But yeah, we've had guys in India who've translated our content into that dialect to use to reach guys. And another one, it was in Singapore, that did the same thing. Mm. And so now, if the earth was flat, this would be a bigger thing of like how far away kind of thing. Eventually, we wrap around. Mm. So, but I think the last tally was 63 countries we were visited by, right? That we had some uncommon man that was taking part in some bit of content. And so this sounds like a lot, right?
Yeah.
So I went and looked up how many countries there are.
You should have done that.
And I never realized that until you watched the opening of an Olympics.
Oh, sure.
And it's like a graduation name. Like, oh, are we just in the B's? Come on. 195 countries.
Oh, that makes me sad.
How dare you, Earth? How dare you have that many countries?
Uncalled for, sir.
Try hard. So, yeah, we're in 63 of those 195-ish, whatever they are, countries. But now some days it feels, based off of maybe engagement or whatever, it feels like whatever we do never leaves the studio. And I say that not because, like, oh my God, it's engaged. I think every guy sometimes feels like they're in a bubble.
Sure.
And they're going through something by themselves. Mm-hmm. They're alone. No one knows what I'm going through. It's just me. There's other guys out there going through the same things. And that's why we're writing content around that stuff to help with that. If you are looking for some buddies, some mentors, whatever, friends, join a small group. Mm. That way you won't feel so isolated. So,
sure.
Let's see. What is the biggest challenge facing Uncommon right now? Well, this one's kind of a bummer. Mm. Financial support. I hate to say that. Same. I would up say, you know, oh, it's those damn minions.
What is that? That ad on TV. It's the dreaded F word. It's finances.
Right, the F word, financial support. You know, I think when COVID hit, we had a bit of a spike. Mm. People were home, trying not to go insane. They were like, you know, what can I do? And then all of a sudden, we started kind of like, well, I don't know what to do next. Mm. COVID's going away a little bit. Now the recession kicks in, and then just attrition. Right, people were like, I'm doing this, and like I do like six other men's ministries too. Mm-hmm. Stop all five of them and do one well.
Doesn't have to be us, just one.
Yeah, just go do one, because you're not servicing anybody, mm-hmm. including yourself, by doing like a bunch mm-hmm. of different ministries. Go do one and support that ministry. Mm-hmm. But financial support, you know, we've taken it on the chin for the last like year and a half, and it doesn't look like it's changing anytime soon. So, this will be a quick one. I want to dwell on it. That's the biggest challenge facing Uncommon. Mm. Unfortunately, it is around money. Now, let's see. What are the most common questions we get? Now, this is kind of an interesting one. Is there a women's version, or would you ever start a women's version of Uncommon? I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing with a men's ministry. Can you imagine me doing something with a women's ministry?
Yeah, I know we've discussed talking with other female-focused ministries and partnering with them, but that'd probably be the closest we ever get, just because there's so much that we're learning on this side of the camera screen that it'd be very difficult for us to learn. I mean, shoot, if we knew the female side of this, I think I'd have a way better relationship with my wife. Yeah,
I'd have books and degrees and probably a line of people out the door.
What's that movie? Is it What Women Want, when the dude can read women's minds? Yeah. Basically that.
Right.
But yeah, I think this is the downside. I mean, there's plenty of ministries out there. There's no Uncommon branded women's ministry, but there's plenty of ones out there that are really great resources. But oftentimes I tend to point people towards their own church body, because tend to be your church has some kind of ministry that
is... Especially a women's ministry.
Especially a women's ministry.
Probably like seven of them at your church.
But I do think it's funny, because most of those questions, like coming from the husbands or coming from the wives? Is there a women's ministry?
You would think it could be coming from the wives, but I don't know if it was... I can't recall. Actually, that's a good part of it. I'll do a follow-up on that.
It's because if it's mostly guys, I can see it being like the idea of like bringing the person to the therapist, like tell them how wrong they are kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, he said I'm supposed to change, but over at Uncommon Women, he said you got to change. That's what TJ said. What's funny is that when we have reached out to partner with a women's ministry, we've done about three or four of them. Mm. And the first one was like, you what now? Are you crazy? No. I mean, what are you talking about? We're a men's ministry. We would love to get some perspective on what women struggle with, mm-hmm. or like maybe in marriage, mm-hmm. or what we'd like to see a godly man
sure.
do and portray and all that. we could not get anyone to say, we would love to partner with you. So right now, if you're a women's ministry and you're hearing this, contact us and we'll have a conversation about maybe doing a co-podcast or shared content or something like that. They want to know part of it. And maybe because they're like, we don't want to let those zombies in the door. No way. Let's just keep with the women. They buy a lot of stuff. They're active. They're engaging kind of thing. We let men in here. They just make a mess. So it's really odd. We could not, I mean, we had kind of three or four conversations with like two or three different women's ministries. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, could not wrap their heads around that we were trying to get better and needed their help.
Yeah. I think it's the first step in anything like this is the fact that you have to take ownership of what your side of this is.
Sure.
And ask the other parties involved, like, how can I get better? Or,
yeah,
you know. I talk about the book that we read in our marriage study, me and my wife, that talked about your wife or your spouse should have, they called it open hunting license on your life of anytime you're doing something that maybe is contrary to what the Bible calls us to be, or maybe just something that's, you know, harmful to you and the family,
right,
that they have an open license to bring that up in front of you. And the hard part on the other side of that is not to get offensive, right?
Sure.
And I think it's interesting that how often it's so difficult that many couples that I had spoken to, they struggle with that idea of like, well, I don't know how to bring that up in front to that person without me having to like console them, right? And make sure that I don't hurt their feelings. Or sure, the other person's like, I don't know how to receive that because I don't take criticism well. And so I can see that being the case of like, you know,
yeah,
it's hard to get the other side of that coin so easily. And it just takes a lot of effort, a lot of self-reflection, a lot of being... again, vulnerable.
Well, we've always gone through this phase of like around Mother's Day, right? Mm-hmm. We're like, let's have a sale that maybe the wives, or I'm sorry, around Father's Day, that the wives could like gift a membership to their husbands or their dads or uncles. Yeah, that's great. And then I would say, this is like me buying my wife a Weight Watchers membership.
Right.
They're going to read into that and say, what are you trying to say, that I'm not a great husband kind of thing? So that doesn't go that way. But we need that kind of accountability and that kind of thing. I think we want it. Sometimes we have a hard time like accepting it.
Sure.
Remember that pride and ego part of the last thing?
So, yeah.
this is the next one. Why do things cost? I'm like, what? Well, your stuff, it's so expensive. I'm like, is it? I guess it's perspective, I guess. Sure. I mean, our downloadable stuff is not that. I mean, it's like, you know, $10 or less. I mean, our annual, we did the math. It was like equal to 11 cups of coffee for the year. For the year.
Yes, because the coffee was like $3.90 something. Now, that was a couple months back, so I'm sure that coffee is now like $5.
Well, and then what's funny is that we put the average. The average person has 1,000 cups of coffee a year. This was equivalent to 11.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to answer that question. I'm like, do things cost in your world? Like, in your like electricity, shoes, food? I mean, things just cost. And I guess the misnomer is that, well, doesn't nonprofits run on magical pixie dust?
Sure.
No, it unfortunately runs on money. Sure. Someone's got to donate that. So
I think it's hard too, because there's, and we've talked about this a lot, there's so many ministries out there that offer similar content or same content for free and,
sure,
and different things. And, you know, if you can't financially, you know, be a member or purchase that, there's plenty of free content on our website, and there's other ministries out there too.
Yeah.
I think just it's difficult to broach that conversation with us, with the person understanding that, you know, we are seeking financial, you know, help or backing to further the kingdom, right?
Sure.
This is not us trying to make more money. Every bit of money that we make goes right back into Uncommon.
100%.
Making new content for you guys, video recording, podcasts, the equipment you see here if you're watching the podcast. You know, a lot goes into this kind of stuff. And so it's that dirty word of financial
sure
support that no one wants to think about it. Same way, like, I know we we've worked with a lot of pastors, and they don't like talking about tithing kind of thing. It's like, you know, no one likes to talk about money, but, you know, we want to be honest about where that money's going and be honest and upfront with you guys, just because, you know, it needs to be, you know, Bible talks about it, so we should be talking about it.
Sure, Paul said a laborer is worth his pay. And so this is what we've been called to do. That's what we're doing. Unfortunately, it costs money to do some of this. Jack, he's expensive, you know.
Yeah. He's a lot of hay.
He's a lot of hay. A lot of hair gel.
a lot of hair products.
Hair products, right.
At least he goes through like a hair dryer a month. Just burns through them.
Another hair dryer? Come on, Jack.
The funny part is, if no one knows what Jack is, they have no idea what we're talking about.
We'll get to Jack in one. He's after the next segment, so don't worry about it if you don't know Jack. My shirt is a hint of Jack. Okay, the next one. What are some practical ways for men to improve their relationships with their spouse? There's a ton of content on our website, but, you know, like we talked before, pray for each other, do a Bible study together. There's tons of great marriage studies out there. Goodness, the five love languages, crazy love, not a fan. I mean, there's just, this is a bunch of them out there, obviously. Spending time with each other, quality time. Sitting in a room, both of you on your phone, pretending to watch the latest episode of whatever CSI location they made now is not spending time together. And the most important thing is keeping God at the center of your marriage.
Yes.
When you do that, it is difficult for the world to get in between you and your spouse.
Definitely.
So those are some practical ways to improve relationships with our spouses.
One thing with all those, I think the biggest hurdle is being intentional about it. Because it's really easy to be like, oh, yeah, well, let's pray for each other, you know, when we go off to work, or let's do Bible study next weekend. If this is kind of the, you know, I want to lose weight. If you don't set aside time, set goals for yourself, and carve out a portion of your life to dedicate towards praying together, doing a Bible study together, you will not do it. It's not easy, and it will not come naturally. You need to set times and be the leader of the household. Like, hey, every Tuesday, we're going to sit down at dinner, and as soon as we finish dinner, we will do a Bible study together.
Yep. Dreams and goals.
Yep.
Dreams are, I want to lose 25 pounds. Wake up, TJ, because you're dreaming. Versus, I'm going to lose 25 pounds. I'm going to take out sugar out of my diet, and I'm going to cut out fried food, and I'm going to exercise more.
Yep.
That's a goal. And I'm going to do that by, like, say, you know, September 1st kind of thing. That's a goal. The other one is just make-believe funsies. All right. We're finally at Jack. Jack, make sure the camera's focused, okay? And be quiet back there. All right, so Jack, if you see my shirt, this was a character that I developed for Uncommon back in the day when they used our agency to brand and develop the branding for Uncommon. They said, well, we want a character that is a donkey, a jackass. That he could be the mascot, the scapegoat, the anti-role model, the mistake we could point to. Yeah,
the fall guy.
The fall guy in every broken situation. So I developed Jack. I don't know if you remember me doing this at the table. I was kind of sketching. They wanted like certain kind of glasses. Yep. We wanted like certain hair and a mohawk and a leather jacket, and he had like earring with a chain, and like it was kind of like if Fonzie let himself go with the hair, you know, it was kind of like that to a degree. But so Jack was and still is our mascot, just because he's not at the forefront. It's kind of like Mickey Mouse. They don't like roll him out all the time.
Sure, just for special occasions.
Special occasions, yeah. Right? To gather the money, really. but he is our mascot. And it was funny that some people just loved him. We did like an auction. Some guy did like a speed, like time lapse painting of Jack. It was really cool. And we got that kind of on canvas. It had an auction. People, you know, bought that and stuff. And then people, other people disliked him.
Oh, yeah.
They hated Jack. Jack, I'm sorry. He's going to be tearing
he's
up
in a minute. He's in tears right now.
Right, I'm going to say. People thought he was a demon.
That's a different one.
One church was like, you know, we don't like this because we feel like he looks like a demon. I'm like, have you seen a donkey before? I know he's standing up and he's got cross legs and his arms are folded and he's not really a actual donkey. But and some didn't like it that we were implying the word ass at the end of Jack. The phrase was always, don't be a Jack.
Yeah.
Right? And so one church guy called and is like, you know, well, what's the rest of that word mean? I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, well, you know, Jack what? I'm like, well, his name is Jack. He was trying to fish around to see me say the word jackass. I'm like, really?
Is that what we've stooped to at this point?
I mean, that's quoted in the Bible. So, anyway. And then the last one, probably the funniest one, is one guy reached out to us and said, hey, my brother's named Jack. What do you have against him?
The funniest part about that, it feels like such an AI robot response, but I know this was well before that came out. Like, that feels like an AI robot that you just, like, let loose on the internet, and he just responds because that's all he understands or whatever.
It is so funny. They
Does your brother look like that? Because if he does, that's a problem.
So. Maybe so. I usually wear this because Jack's actual name is Jack Uncommon, right? Mm. That's the character. I wear this shirt when you and I go to Heroes Con. Mm. We're a bit of comic book nerds to some degree, and so we always go to that, which we didn't go this year. I think it's
isn't no, it? It's in July.
It's in July? Okay, yeah. I thought it was in
last
June.
Last year we went on the Sunday.
Okay, I thought it was in June. I thought we may have missed it. I'm going like 7 years in a row. So, the character has been in, like, I think they hired some animators from the Powerpuff Girls back in the day when they were just wasting money. Doing some animated videos, and I would watch it, and the first thing I would say, like, and how much did this cost? It was like $3,500. I'm like, why?
It was Powerpuff Girls.
Right, exactly. So you can kind of see that, you know, I'm a little more, I need my realist side. I want to be a good steward with God's money here in the ministry, because it's not ours, it's his. Sure. So we were kind of that even back then, but we need to bring Jack back to the forefront, I think, on some things. Introduce him, kind of like Jay-Z. Let me reintroduce myself, right? So we need to bring Jack back. So you hear us talk about Jack. Jack does not exist. Sorry, Jack. You do not exist. He is a fictional character. It is only an illustration that we use to blame men who act like Jack.
Yeah, think of it as like the Christian version of the elf on the shelf kind of deal.
Right. Yes, exactly. And so, but Jack's just much cooler.
Yes.
Kind of thing. So, if you've ever seen Jack, let us know you've seen Jack. You're Jack aware. If you've never seen Jack, let us know you want to see Jack by saying something like, show me the Jack, something like that. okay, so we got a couple of more questions. Can you share a story of a significant impact Uncommon has had on someone's life? And this will be one that I have. One of the guys who is a member and a small group leader, a charter leader, actually is a warden in a prison. We were just talking recently. He said, 10 years ago, I was in prison. 8 years ago, I was in rehab. I got out of rehab. I found Uncommon, and I felt like Uncommon changed my life. And he said, I had the Uncommon wristband on for the last 8 years. Now, if you don't know what that is, we did these wristbands, black wristbands with a white Uncommon on it. And yes, I did not choose the name Uncommon to be spelled with M-E-N. While it's clever, it's a typo, and it causes all kinds of jankiness. So I do not recommend misspelling something like that. It's clever, but no one types that in because they think it's just Uncommon, and that's sure. Tony Dungy's thing. So anyway, you know, he's gone from being in prison being in rehab. He's a leader in his community. He's an elder in his church, or it's actually asking him to be an elder. Very committed to his walk with Christ, and is a warden in a church, in a prison right now, that he is over now, over like, I think, six other prisons and about 30 other chaplains.
Oh, wow.
And so he actively uses Uncommon throughout any of the ministering to prisoners kind of thing. And so if nothing else happens, right, besides something like that, that is very beneficial. I know one gentleman came to Christ. He let us know that, you know, one of our devotions led him to Christ, and he was looking for a church, and I think it was in Florida, and we tried to help him find something locally kind of thing. So if, again, if nothing else happens on Uncommon and it fails tomorrow, we got to like put up the close sign on the website, that was worth it.
Yeah.
So if nothing else comes out of that, I think that it was the call and the reason we started Uncommon.
Yeah. I know I've had a couple guys that I've actually been friends with for quite a long time that they've reached out a couple times after us doing podcasts or posting articles, and they always ask me questions about it and, you know, let me know how much of an influence it's had on their lives and just the advice that we've given over the years and the challenges that they've received. Because sometimes, you know, we are here to challenge you, the viewer and listener. Mm-hmm. You know, we are here to encourage, but to challenge as well. And I think sometimes when people don't have that in their lives, and for good or for worse, we're here for them and to help that kind of that challenge of, you know, break check you a little bit and see how you're doing as a follower of Christ and just helping with everything else. So I think that's probably been my favorite kind of stories that I've heard about. And I think it's been helpful to hear and see how at least somebody's watching and listening.
Right. Anytime you don't, I feel that somebody's not listening, not engaging. If I like misquote a piece of scripture or say something contrary to what everybody's agreed upon kind of thing, I'm brought to task. Hey, you said Luke 2, but it's actually Mark 2. What kind of heathen are you? TJ, can't believe it, sir. So, oh, that was Jack. Sorry, Jack was doing
He's messing with the teleprompter again.
Right. So, well, we're at the end of our questions. We're going to compose some more of these, I think, toward maybe the end of summer. Kind of do a little bit of a riff like this in the future. Let us know if you have any questions. We can kind of answer them. Some are funny, some are serious, some are in between kind of thing. But most importantly, we got a chance to reintroduce Jack.
Definitely.
And get his moment in the spotlight. So before he chews through the cables of the camera and sets fire to the house, Joshua, hit him with our tagline.
If you're going to be something, you better be uncommon.
Amen.